right up and get your products over here.
The black market.
Calling in from the local drugstore phone booth, it's author of Eerie Flo Rida and Freaky Flo Rida, Mark Muncy. Hey, Mark, why are you writing about the rapper? I didn't realize that was, you were into that whole hip-hop scene.
Oh, that's my jam, man. That is totally my jam, so.
It's Florida. I'm Florida. My bad. I am so sorry. So Eerie Florida and Freaky Florida. Wait a minute. So what's the most recent? Eerie Florida?
Freaky Florida was actually our sequel. Yeah, Eerie was our big hit, and then Freaky just came out last September. These are from History Press. If you go to any like local stores or something, or a Cracker Barrel carries these things, you'll see them. They're like local history books. Like the history of the Battle of something or other, the history of this. Yeah. They're all usually written by local historians. But they've recently realized, hey, there's money in ghost stories and stuff like that. So I started doing like Haunted Georgia, Haunted this, Haunted that. And a few years ago, we approached them after Hellview Cemetery, my beloved haunt, was shut down by the city. We had been publishing ghost stories and stuff based on characters from the haunt that were based on local legends. And I approached them with trying to redo that through them. Take out the fictionalized elements. We had Hellviewed up, we used to call it, like making them Tales from the Crypt style. And they were like, oh, hey, we'd love to have that. So that's where Eerie Florida was born. We traveled 1,000 miles, never left the state, which Florida's pretty big, and found all these weird monsters, myths, legends, and told their stories.
So you become like the haunt kind of author slash historian of the Florida area,
it took off. I got on all the weird radio shows like Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie and a bunch of paranormal podcasts and stuff like that. And then from there, we started getting on to the even more mainstream stuff. Then we got on for Freaky Florida. I've been on NPR. I've been on some British shows. I've been on some Canadian shows. It's it's crazy. Just everybody's fascinated with creepy Florida stories.
Man, that's great. So things are going well. So this is kind of where you're putting your energy, that you obviously can't put it into the haunt because it's gone. So is you're putting kind of your energy. Well, look, this is probably, I mean, I don't know if it's a lot less work, but it's not as much physically straining.
It's not, you're not holding up 2x4s and, with one hand while you're standing on a broken ladder with one foot and, six people screaming at you. It's a lot less in some ways, but then, then you've got deadlines and, this photo didn't line up properly, so you've got to, you've got to get a different version of it. So sometimes that's, 6 hours away by car, so you're racing to get there before deadline to get a picture of this place, and hopefully it's not too cloudy or too rainy or whatever. So different stress levels.
Yeah. Sounds like fun, though. I mean, all right, so let me ask you, because we talked, when did we talk? Was that 5 years ago,
about 5 years ago, the end of Hellview. I think we talked the year before we shut down. Hauntcast was one of my first things when we first started doing Hellview. I think we were still on the Halloween L list at that time.
Yeah.
And somebody recommended you guys, and that's where it all started. So.
Yeah, it's funny. I was just talking to Greg Wallace, and that Halloween L came up, too, in our conversation.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, I remember that. So I think I'm still subscribed. I don't know.
No shit. Just kind of going back to Hellview for a second, since we're on the topic of Hellview, before they shut you down, were they giving you warnings? Were there some kind of a sign that this was going to happen, or not? They just went like bam, and they just served and said you can't do this anymore.
Yeah, it's pretty much what happened. We were doing well. We got a permit every year from the city. And we had a big election. We got a new mayor and a new regime, and they were not very Halloween friendly after that. We lost. There were 5 local haunts, and none of them are back. They all closed that year. None of us got our permits allowed. And the only things that are around now are the ones that try to sneak under the radar, don't do permits, build in 2 weeks and then tear down. So we were, we were bigger than we probably should have been, to be fair, because we were doing, a few thousand people a weekend. It was nuts. But the city loved us but then we got a new mayor and that was it. I understand one neighbor down the street had a stroke and was convinced the devil was coming for him. So he was the one who finally complained, and suddenly we couldn't get a permit anymore.
Yeah, it's a damn shame. You know, I'm kind of expecting that to happen anytime for me too. Although this year I might just be doing the yard display, and I might just not do any type of little... Well, I don't do a walkthrough. I do a walk around.
Yeah.
Sounds like a reach around, but it's not. It's something else. And but the walk around, yeah. But it's kind of like a walkthrough. It's a way of doing a walkthrough and following the within the law, or it's at least like a loophole. You know what I mean?
So that's how we started. Yeah. It was, we did the front display, and then it got, we kept the old ones. So we finally just made a walkthrough of all our old displays by using a couple neighbors' yards. And that was how we started before we decided, you know what? I'm tired of having to deal with the neighbors, can't always accommodate us and all that. So that's when we decided, we'll just build it all in my giant backyard. So, and that was, that's how we started. So
that's the problem with people don't get. I think a lot of like haunters, they're like, they're trying to promote, and they've got their website, and they're, trying to get all this publicity. And it's like, that's the last thing you should do if you're doing a residential home yard haunt.
Right.
Because what happens is, social media is going to take care of that for you without you doing shit.
I mean, we're still getting tons of visitors on Halloween, and people come by the weekend before Halloween. We've just got a small display up now. We do a lot of, atmosphere projections and just set up a few, things, but people still come by going, "Oh, what? You're not doing the haunt this year?" I'm like, "We haven't done it in 4 years, but everybody still sees the old Facebook posts and the old,
by the way,
memories.
Make sure you call the mayor's office and thank him.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Call that new mayor every year. We applied again this year. I haven't heard back yet. But he's still in power. So I doubt we're going anywhere for a couple of years.
You basically have to wait for him to get ousted, and then there may be a chance of it coming back.
Yeah. I think this guy wants to be senator or governor at some point. So I think we're a stepping stone.
Yeah.
So I don't think he's going to be here long anyway. Yeah,
a lot of those politicians are,
Yeah.
If I was ever to do that, I would just be happy taking my little small gig. If you could, you can probably ride it out, years,
To be fair, To be fair, people like you and I have too many skeletons in our closet that would keep us from going above city level politics.
I'm talking figuratively, of course.
Yeah.
Figuratively. There's no way, dude. Are you kidding me? I got like two OUIs. There's no way. I could run for any office without getting destroyed.
I'd have some ex-girlfriend from high school show up god,
plenty of skeletons in the closet.
And I'm, dude, I got that
about,
when the,
and I'm not talking about like, Scully.
Like I said, that was it. When I got on Coast to Coast AM, which is the huge with the tinfoil hat crowd, suddenly I got all these calls and letters the next day from people I hadn't seen in like 20-30 years going, "Oh man, I didn't know you wrote books. I said, I wrote back then. It just nobody cared."
You weren't writing Harry Potter.
I didn't know. Who knew? The stories we write now, they're cool. I mean, we find some really crazy places. This is stuff that could inspire a haunt big time. I got to say, it reminds me so much of Revenant's Theater of the Mind stuff, where you go out and you find real stories to incorporate into things. We've got so much information now, we could build a million haunts on some of this stuff.
Okay. Now, we do want to encourage people to buy the books, of course, right?
Yes.
So we're going to do all of the plugging of where they can buy that in a minute. But give us some kind of really cool tidbit from something from the book that was maybe one of your favorite stories. You don't have to go and give it all away, but give us a taste of one of the really juicy legends or lores from Florida.
Okay, yeah, great. Yeah, we've got, we cover everything from the UFOs at Gulf Breeze up in the Panhandle down to Robert the Doll down in Key West. Everybody knows those. But we tried to hit some of the more obscure stuff, some crazy stuff. We got Pinky the Sea Monster, got the Skunk Apes, you know, all the classics. But then we found some odd stuff that really stood out to us. One of my favorites is the Grave of Wickedemus. I love that name. How's that for a name? Wickedemus. It's supposedly the grave site of a witch. And she had a little girl who had a pet demon. And they terrorized this town. They controlled the town. And a witch finder found them. This is like a Lost Colony style, predates Roanoke, you know, a French settlement up in North Florida on Amelia Island. It's right on the Georgia border. And there's no records of it, all this, but there's a gravestone in this old abandoned, creepy, walkway. It was like an old, like part of a nature park that doesn't exist. And, it's a crazy place. It was just so cool. And the story behind it was just, you know, crazy. And it has the whole urban legend, go there on three nights and you'll gain power, you know, or think about the girl while you're there and she'll grant you a wish and the demon will rise. Crazy stuff. And this stuff goes all the way back to the 50s. So it's like, okay, so how long has this really been there? And that's the kind of stuff we explored and learned about. And you know, now that whole area is being developed and it's going to be like a housing project over it. So, you know, what's it going to be now? You know, it's crazy stuff.
Is there a difference in the types of stories that you're covering in Freaky Florida? More bizarre, weird stuff versus just kind of spooky, scary legend type stuff?
You got it exactly. Yeah, Erie, Florida.
See, I'm not so dumb.
No, it's. I love that when you and Johnny reviewed it real quick on an episode not too long ago. Thank you guys for doing that. Erie was the one we started with, which was, you know, we wanted spooky, we wanted creepy. While we were investigating some of the places, we found out, oh, there's no ghosts, there's no legends, it's all bogus. We debunked it, but it was still a really cool place, a place like Solomon's Castle, which this guy built this castle in a swamp in Florida entirely out of recycled materials. It's amazing. And then, you know, the Wonder House, which is another old 1930s tourist attraction that's crazy inventions and all that. And the couple who bought it thought it was haunted. They bought it because they were going to make it into a haunted house. And now they found out, oh, it's not haunted, but it's still cool as heck. So, yeah, so we got to include those in Freaky. We still have our creepy stuff, you know, because that's what our bread and butter. But we also had, and then we uncovered some other stuff while we were looking for Erie. People are like, oh, you know this one, but do you know about the Devil's Tree down in Port St. Lucie? And I'm like, I knew about it, but I didn't think it was real. And then we found out, oh, it is real and tied to a serial killer and all this other crazy stuff. So it's just too much fun. And now we've got a third book in the works. Should be out in September.
Excellent. What's the name of that?
I'm not allowed to say just yet because they have to make sure it clears copyright.
Oh, but come on!
I can tell you it fits Erie and Freaky. And if you're an old EC Comics fan, you can probably figure it out.
Something Florida.
Right.
Plug away. Where can people go right now and get their hands? By the way, did you do the audiobook?
Well, they haven't. Our publisher has never done audiobooks, History Press, but because we've sold so many and because we have such a demand for it, that might be some things that we're working on this year. This might be their first ever audiobook.
So where can people pick these up?
Okay, yeah. ErieFlorida.com is our home site. You can follow us on all the social medias and stuff, see wherever we're doing appearances and stuff. We do appearances at Universal Studios now, Islands of Adventure. We've done a lot of the local cons and stuff. But, you know, if you don't want to wait for that, there's you can get it online at any of your usual retailers, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, all that. We're available wherever fine books are sold. Your local retailer can order it usually. If you go to Erie, Florida, there's a link to a local bookstore here in St. Pete that sells our book, and we'll sign it, and they'll ship it out to you. So,
guys, go grab a copy, peruse all the freaky and eerie shit that's going on in Florida.
Yeah, feel free to make it into a haunt. We'd appreciate it. Just excellent. Send us a link.
I'm going now. Heaven help you.
Please like and follow the podcast. Stalk us on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. Links in the description. And help us by sharing HauntCast with all your haunt and Halloween brethren. Until next time, stay scary.